With today's shir, the Rambam begins the fourth book of the Mishneh Torah, the Book of Women. As is the custom of the Rambam and all of his other books, the 14 books which the Mishneh Torah comprises, he prefaces the book with a biblical verse. In this case, the Book of Women, it is the verse from Mishlei, from Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 14, which reads as follows: Toras Chacham Mikar Chayim Lasur Mimokshe Mavis. The teaching of the wise is a source of life, to remain far from the snares of death. Sefer Revi Vahu Sefer Nashim. This is the fourth book, namely the Book of Women. Hilchos of Chamesh comprises five treatises, Vizehu Siduran, and this is the order in which they appear. In other words, there are five subsections in the Book of Women. Hilchos Ishus, the laws concerning marriage; Hilchos Gerushin, the laws concerning divorce; Hilchos Yibum v'Chalitza, the laws concerning levirate marriage and Chalitza; Hilchos Nara v'Sula, the laws concerning the virgin maiden; and finally Hilchos Sota, the laws concerning the woman suspected of adultery, the wayward woman. We now begin the first section of the fourth book of women, entitled Hilchos Ishus, the laws concerning marriage. Before the Rambam details these laws, he tells us which of the biblical commandments these laws are based on. Yesh b'chlolan arba mitzvos. Contained within this section are four commandments: shtei mitzvos asei, u'shtei mitzvos los asei, two positive commandments and two negative commandments. V'zehu pratan, these are the details. Aleph, the first commandment that will be discussed in this section, Lisa Isha Biksuba Vikidushin, to marry a wife by means of Kisuba and betrothal. Beis, the second commandment, which is a negative one, prescribing our actions, Shalo Siboil Isha Below Ksuba Ubelow Kidushin. A woman shall not have relations with a man without the benefit of a Ksuba and without the benefit of betrothal. Gimel, the third commandment, again a negative, proscriptive commandment, Shelo Yimna She'er Ksus V'Ona. This commandment is directed to the husband, that he should not withhold from his wife three things, and they are She'er, her food, Ksus, her garments, V'Ona, and her conjugal rights. And finally, the fourth mitzvah is Lifros V'Lirbos Mimena, to be fruitful and multiply from her, from one's wife. Ubeir mitzvos elu biprakim elu. The exposition of these commandments, of these four mitzvos, follows in the subsequent chapters of Hilchos Ishus, the laws concerning marriage. Perek Rishon, chapter 1, Halacha Aleph, paragraph 1. Kodem Matan Torah, haya adam pogei isha b'shuk. Before the Torah was given, if a man would meet a woman in the street, im ratzahu vehi lisa osa, and if both consented to marriage, machnisa letoch beso uboala beino levein atzmo v'siyel lo leisha, he would bring her into his house and would have marital relations with her in the privacy of their home, and that would be the process by which they would become married. Kevan shenitna Torah. Once the Torah was given at Mount Sinai, Netzavu Yisrael, the Jewish people were commanded, She'im yirtza ha'ish lisa isha, yikna osa tchila bifnei edim, that if a man would want to marry a woman, he would first have to acquire her in the presence of witnesses, and only then would she become his wife. She'nemar, as it is said in the book of Deuteronomy, Ki yikach ish isha, if a man takes a wife and cohabits with her, the indication of this verse is that in order for the marriage to be acceptable, there must be an act of taking, an act of acquisition. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. V'likuchen elu mitzvos asei shel Torah heim. The foregoing acquisition is a positive commandment of the Torah. U'be'echad mishlosha dvarim elu ha'isha niknes. One of the three following modes would enable this woman to be acquired to her husband, b'chesef, or b'shtar, or b'bia, either by money, or by shtar, a written contract, or with intercourse. B'bia u'b'shtar mehatorah, or b'kesef medivrei sofrim. The two modes of acquisition, namely intercourse and the written document, is biblical in origin, whereas the mode of kesef, of giving money or anything of value, is taken from the scribes. These words of the Rambam are highly controversial, because they suggest at face value that if one marries a woman by way of an article of value, such as the case today where we give a ring, it is only a rabbinical form of marriage. That is very difficult to accept, and therefore some commentaries point out that the Rambam does not mean rabbinical when he says that it is from the scribes. He merely means to suggest that since the mode of money is not directly and specifically mentioned in the Torah, it is derived by one of the 13 methods of interpretation, and those methods were transmitted by the rabbis. That's why it is called a rabbinical form of marriage. But in terms of its effect and its force, it is quite the same as the other two methods of marriage. And in other writings, we are told that in later manuscripts of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, he had in fact revised the sentence to make it clear that all three methods are biblical. Now this acquisition, through any of these three forms, is referred to in all places as either kiddushin, meaning consecration, or erusin, which means betrothal. V'isha shenikneis bi'achad migimul dvarim elu, hi hanikreis mikudeshes o me'oreses. A woman who is acquired in any of these three methods is called either mikudeshes, a consecrated woman, or me'oreses, a betrothed woman. Those are the terms that can be used for this type of marriage. Gimel, paragraph 3. V'chevan shenikneis ha'isha v'naseis mikudeshes. Afal pi shelo nivala v'lo nichnasa leveis baila harihi eishes ish. Once a woman has been acquired and has become consecrated, even though she had not yet had marital relations with her husband, nor had she even entered her husband's house, she is nevertheless regarded as a married woman. V'haba aleha chutz mi baila chayav misas bezdin v'imratza legaresh tzricha get. Anyone besides her husband who has relations with her is guilty of a capital crime that is punishable by the death penalty given by the courts, and if she wants to get a divorce and to remarry, she must receive a get, the bill of divorce. She is a full-fledged married woman, even though she had not yet consummated the marriage, nor had she even entered her husband's home. Halacha Dalet, paragraph 4. Kodem Matan Torah, Hayadam Pogei Isha Bashuk. Before the Torah was given at Sinai, a man who would meet a woman in the street, Im Ratzahu Vahi, Nosen Loschara, Uvoel Osa Al Eim Haderech Vaholech. He was permitted, if they both consented, to give her her pay and to have relations with her on the road, on the crossroads, and then he would just leave. V'zohi hanikreis kedesha, and this woman was referred to as a kedesha, a harlot. That was acceptable before the Torah was given. However, the Rambam continues, mishinitna haTorah, once the Torah was given, nesra hakedesha, the harlot is forbidden. Shenemar, as it is written, again in the book of Deuteronomy, Lo siya kedesha mibnos Yisrael. There shall be no harlot of the daughters of Israel. Lefichach, kol haboel isha l'shem znus, b'lo kiddushin, lo kemin haTorah, lefi shabal kedesha. Therefore, the Rambam concludes, anyone who has relations with a woman for the purpose of harlotry without betrothal is liable to a flogging on the authority of the Torah, because he has had intercourse with a harlot. In other words, he has violated the Torah's negative commandment stating not to commit this type of an act. This act to which the Rambam refers, namely having relations with someone without the benefit of Kiddushin, is not universally accepted. Maimonides, Rambam's greatest critic, the Ravid, disagrees and claims that the Torah's prohibition against harlotry refers to a woman who has relations with anyone who might come her way, but someone who has relations with a woman without the benefit of betrothal is not in violation of a biblical commandment. In fact, that would be referred to as a pilegish, a concubine, which the Torah mentions in many different places. That is the opinion of the Ravid. And now we continue to Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Having stated that there is a prohibited form of relationship, namely having relations without the benefit of betrothal, the Rambam continues to mention and to categorize the different forbidden types of relationships. Kol she'asar bi'asal b'torah v'chiyav al bi'asay kares v'hein ha'amuros b'parshas achrimos hein ha'nikros arayos. All those with whom intercourse is forbidden in the Torah and made punishable by kares, excision, namely the ones enumerated in the section called Achrimos in the book of Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, they are called arayos, forbidden illicit relationships. That is the collective term for all of those categories together. V'chol achas mihen nikreis erva. Each one of them individually is referred to in the singular form. The word is erva, a forbidden or illicit relationship. Kigon, for example, aim, v'achos, ubas, v'chayotze behen, a mother, a sister, a daughter, and the like. These are the biblical prohibitions that are mentioned in the book of Vayikra, for which the penalty of kares is applied. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam continues, in paragraph 6, he says, V'yesh nashem achero shehein asuras mepi ha-kabbalah, v'isura medivrei sofrim. However, there are other women who are also forbidden, but their source of prohibition is mepi ha-kabbalah. Literally, Kabbalah means from tradition. This was passed down from one generation to the next. And the source of their prohibition is scribal, is rabbinical. V'hein hanikro shnios. The Hebrew term for these is shnios, which means secondary. Why are they called secondary? Mipnei shehen shnios la'arayos. Because they are secondary to the primary forms of illicit relationships that are mentioned and proscribed by the Torah. V'chol achas mihen nikrei shnia. Every one of these individually is called a shnia, a secondary illicit relationship. Ve'esrim nashim hein, and they are 20. There are 20 different women who are included in these rabbinical prohibitions, and are called shnios. Ve'elu hein, and these are the 20 prohibitions. Aleph, number 1, aim imo, one's mother's mother. V'zo ein lo hefsik. Now the Rambam says that even though we're using the term mother is mother, it doesn't end there. It has no interruption. El afilu aim imo ad maila asura. Even one's maternal grandmother's grandmother and beyond that would be included in this prohibition. Beis, the second prohibition, aim avi imo bilvot, one's maternal grandfather's mother, but it stops at that point. When the rabbis prohibited the relationship with these women, they made a distinction between the categories. And in this case, it's the paternal grandfather's mother, but it doesn't go beyond that, above that. Gimel 3, Aim Aviv, one's father's mother. V'zo ein lo hefsik, there is no interruption over here. El afilu aim aviv ad lamayla Asura. Even this one, too, has no limit and includes even one's paternal great-great-grandmother and beyond that and upwards. Dalid, number 4, Aim Avi Aviv Bilvad, the mother of one's paternal grandfather, but she alone. It doesn't extend beyond that. Hey, number 5, Eishas Avi Aviv, V'zo Ein Lo Hefsik, the wife of one's paternal grandfather, And this one, too, has no limit. Afilu Eishes Yaakov Avinu Asura Al Achad Mimenu, so that even the wife of our forefather Jacob would be forbidden to any one of us. Obviously, it refers to his wife if she would have been divorced from Jacob or after Jacob's passing. Otherwise, there would be a biblical prohibition of adultery. Vav, the sixth prohibition, rabbinical prohibition, referred to as a shnia, Eishes Avi Imo Bilvad, the wife of one's maternal grandfather, and she alone. Zayin, 7, Eishes Achi Ha'av Min Ha'aim, the wife of one's father's brother. Now, what do we mean by brother? The Rambam says they share the same mother, because if they had the same father, they would be biblically forbidden. Ches, 8, Eishes Achi Ha'aim Bein Min Ha'aim Bein Min Ha'av, the wife of one's mother's brother, whether by the same mother or by the same father. In other words, the way the mother is a sister to this man does not really make any difference whether it's from the mother's side or from the father's side. Tes, number 9, Kalas Beno, one son's daughter-in-law. One's own daughter-in-law would be biblically forbidden. One son's daughter-in-law is rabbinically forbidden. And the Rambam says, V'zo ein lo hefsi. Here too, there is no limit. Afilu kalas ben beno atzof ha'olam asura, that even the daughter-in-law of one's great-great-grandson and downwards to the end of the world would be forbidden. Achetia eishes achad mimenu shnia al Yaakov avinu, so that the wife of any one of us would be forbidden and would be referred to as a shnia even to our forefather Jacob. Yud, number 10, Kalas Bito Bilvad, the daughter-in-law of one's daughter, but here it's limited, only she alone, does not go below that. Yud Aleph, 11, Bas Beno Bilvad, the daughter of one son's daughter, but she alone. Yud Beis, 12, Bas Ben Beno Bilvad, the daughter of one son's son, and she alone. Yud Gimel, 13, Bas Bito Bilvad, the daughter of one's daughter's daughter, and she alone. Yud Dalid, Bas Ben Bito Bilvad, the daughter of one's daughter's son, and she alone. Tesvav, 15, Bas Ben Ishto Bilvad, the daughter of one's wife's son's son, and she alone. Obviously, when we're referring to one's wife's son or grandson, we refer to what is your wife's child from another marriage. Otherwise, it would be your own child and would certainly be forbidden. Tezayin, 16. Bas Ishto Bilvad, the daughter of one's wife's daughter's daughter, and she alone. Yudzayin, 17. Aim Avi Ishto Bilvad, the mother of one's wife's paternal grandmother, and she alone. Yudches, 18. Aim Ishto Bilvad, the mother of one's wife's maternal grandfather, and she alone. Yutes, Aim Ishto Bilvad, the mother of one's wife's maternal grandmother, and she alone. Does not extend upward beyond that. And finally, the 20th in the list of shnios, of secondary prohibitions, are Aim of Avi Ishto Bilvad, the mother of one's wife's paternal grandfather, and she alone. Nimtzu hashniyo she'ein lohem hefsik dalid. In this list, we have found four items in where there is no limit, where the prohibition extends beyond the person who was mentioned. And these are the four. The Rambam repeats again for our benefit. Aim ha'aim ad lamayla, one's mother's mother and beyond. Ve'aim ha'av ad lamayla, one's father's mother and beyond. Ve'eishes aviha of adlamaylo, and the wife of one's father's father and beyond. Ve'eishes ben beno adlamata, and the wife of one's son's son and downward and below. There is no limit in these four. All the others are limited to the one description that was given in the earlier statement of the Rambam. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Kol she'asar bi'asa b'torah v'lo chiev olav kareis Heim hanikroim isuri lavin. Any prohibition which the Torah prohibits, a prohibition of having relations. But the Torah does not make the person liable for the penalty of kares, of excision, are referred to as isuri lavin. Isuri lavin could be translated as women who are prohibited by a negative commandment. Ve'od nikrayin isuri kedusha. And they are also called isuri kedusha. They are prohibited because of holiness. It is the holiness of the individual which prohibits having relations with the other person. Now the Rambam tells us how many would be included in this category. V'sishahein, there are nine. V'elohein, and these are the nine. Almana l'kohen gadol, a widow marrying a high priest. Grusha ozona, ochalola, bein l'kohen gadol, bein l'kohen hedyet, a divorcee, a harlot, a profaned woman, is prohibited to a kohen gadol, to the high priest, and also to the simple, average priest. Umamzeres leven Yisrael, ubas Yisrael lemamzer. An illegitimate Jewish woman having relations with a Jewish man, or an illegitimate male having relations with a Jewish woman. Illegitimacy, according to the laws of the Torah, implies that the child is an issue of either an adulterous relationship or an incestuous relationship. Ubas Yisrael laamoni umaavi, a Jewish woman having relations with a descendant of the nation of Ammon, or a descendant of the nation Moab, even after they had converted, that is prescribed by the Torah. Ubas Yisrael l'ptzua daka uchrushavcha, a Jewish woman having relations with a ptzua daka, one whose testicles were crushed, or one whose membrane was severed, that is also forbidden by the Torah. Ugrushaso achash niseis la'acher, one whose divorcee was married to someone else, may not return to the first husband. And if they do have relations, it is again considered to be a negative transgression. V'yavama sheniseis lazar v'adayin rishus hayavam aleha, a sister-in-law who marries a stranger when her brother-in-law, called the yavam, is still has jurisdiction over her. That refers to the case of a woman whose husband dies childless. She is now required to either marry her husband's brother, which is called yibum, or to receive what is called chalitza, that is a ceremony which acts as a divorce, which severs her connection to her brother-in-law. Without the benefit of either yibum or chalitza, she may not marry another person. Doing so would be a negative transgression. Hachalutza, a woman who did receive chalitza, who obtained the special dispensation through the special ceremony called chalitza to marry someone else, harihi kegrusha, is the equivalent of a divorcee, for he asura la kohen medivrei sofrim, and is forbidden to marry a kohen based on rabbinical decree, and therefore would not be a separate category beyond the nine that were listed before, but would be included in the case of a divorcee marrying a kohen. V'han nesinim, now the tribe that lived in Israel, called nesinim, the Gibeonite tribe who deceived Joshua in the days of the conquest of Israel into accepting them as converts, were later on punished by King David because of an incident that occurred, that no one would be allowed to marry into that group. Harihem kemamzerim, they are considered to be like illegitimate individuals, echad zacharim ve'echad nekevos, whether male or female, v'isuram bidivrei sofrim, and their prohibition is rabbinical. They're not a separate category, because they are not biblically forbidden. U'behilchos isuri bia yispar l'cha mahem hanesinim. In the laws, in the section that the Rambam will devote later on to prohibited relationships, it will be explained what exactly are these people called nesinim, and what is the prohibition concerning them. Now, the Rambam, in this paragraph, mentioned that there are nine categories. If we count all of those that he listed, we find more than nine. So, obviously, we have to know how to list them. Some point out that the nine should be listed as follows. The widow to a high priest is one. Divorcee to any priest is two. A harlot is three. A profaned woman is four. Those are four separate prohibitions, four separate violations. The two of illegitimacy should only be counted as one, because they are based on one biblical verse and one biblical commandment. The prohibition against marrying a descendant of Ammon or Moab is again counted as one because they are included in one biblical verse. Likewise, the prohibition against marrying one whose testicles or membrum has been severed or crushed is listed as one because they are taken from one biblical verse. And the one who takes back his divorcee after she remarried is another one. That's number 8. And number 9 is the sister-in-law who marries a stranger other than her brother-in-law. Those are the 9 categories that the Rambam refers to that are negative commandments and are prohibited because of the degree of holiness that does not tolerate this type of a relationship. Ches, the final paragraph, paragraph 8. V'yeh she'iser bi'asen ba'asei ve'eino mechayave lavin u'shlo shehein. There is another category where the prohibition of having relations is based on a positive commandment of the Torah and is not a violation of a negative commandment. What he means by a positive commandment, he will shortly explain. And there are 3 in this category. Mitzri v'adomi, dor rishon v'dor sheni, echad zecharim v'echad nekevos. An Egyptian convert or an Edomite convert, for the first and second generation, whether male or female, are forbidden to another Jew. It's the third generation that you may marry one of those. Ubu'ula lekohen gadol, a woman who is not a virgin may not marry a high priest. And these 3 categories, Mitzri, Adomi, and Bu'ula, a woman who is not a virgin, to a Kohen Gadol, to a high priest, are prohibited based on a positive commandment. And the Rambam explains, Lefi shelo nemar be'elu lo yavo o lo yikach. The Torah does not say in these 3, don't have relations, don't take this woman. Ella, however, miklal shenemar dar shlishi yavo lehem bekal Hashem, based on the inference of what the Torah says, that the third generation they may enter into the assemblage of God, we can deduce that the first generation and the second generation they may not enter. It is based on an inference of a positive statement. And also with regard to the high priest, based on what the Torah says in Leviticus, that he, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, shall take a woman who is a virgin, we can deduce from that that if she's not a virgin, he may not take her. But that is not the way the Torah describes the prohibition. It puts it in a positive way, and we have to draw the inference. And v'lav haba miklal asei, harehu ka'asei. And the Rambam concludes with the principle that a negative commandment that is deduced, inferred from a positive, is considered to carry the weight of a positive commandment and not of a negative commandment. In summary, the Rambam gives us 4 different types of illicit relationships. Number 1, those that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus that are punishable by kares, by excision. Those that are extensions of that are rabbinically forbidden, known as shnios, the secondary types of relationships. 3, the ones that are prohibited by the Torah, but are merely negative commandments without carrying the penalty of kares. And 4, the ones that are inferred from positive statements and only have the force of a positive commandment and not of a negative commandment. With this law, the Rambam concludes the first chapter of Hilchos Ishus, the laws of marriage.